And I'll be reading verse 1 John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So today's topic is, I think the main idea of the sermon or these verses is walking in the light, walking in the light. Heidi is our youngest granddaughter. She's just over a year old, and she's learning to walk. And, you know, since she has started to walk and not crawl anymore, she has totally abandoned crawling. It's like an obsolete way, Grandpa, of getting around. I don't crawl anymore. I walk. And she puts one foot in front of the other foot, and that's her total focus, moving around with these 2 feet that God has given to her. And, you know, she takes a couple steps, and then, boom, she lands on her well-padded bottom. But then she gets up, and she tries again. She's so excited to go to new places in record time. Walking in the Bible refers to how we live, our lifestyle, our pattern of living, the direction in life that we go every day. And walking involves progress, how to advance in our relationship with God. To learn how to walk in the light is to learn how to walk with Jesus. John, who is writing this letter to those who are under his authority, and he wanted them to have genuine fellowship with God. And we said last week the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. He wants them to have this koinonia, this fellowship, to walk as they walk in the light by living according to the message that the apostles had been given by Jesus. So they were given this message by Jesus, and now they're sharing it with other people. And that word that they were to share in Greek is logos tes zoes. Logos tes zoes. Logos means the word, and tes zoes means of life. The word of life, not the word of death or anything else, but this is the very word of life that the apostles are sharing with their people, with the people around them. You know, a lot of what John wrote tells us about what God did, what God does. The Gospel of John is written that way. The book of Revelation, you know, if you want to know about what's going to happen in the future, what's God going to do? But 1 John focuses upon who God is. Who God is. The message that John never wanted his readers to forget was that God is light. God is light. He is stainlessly holy. He is 100% light. There is absolutely 0% darkness in him. In the Greek, there is absolutely no darkness in him. It's emphasized there. So we could say God is all good. There's nothing bad in him. God is all pure. There's nothing impure associated with him. God is all true, with nothing false about him. And God is totally right, with nothing wrong about him. You know, this was anti-cultural for the place where the people lived there in Ephesus. They were false gods that were being worshipped by the pagans there. And these false gods were always angry and warlike. These gods were made in the image of men, really. You know, we are made in the image of God, but these people had made these gods in the image of men, what they were like. It said their gods had nothing to do with the real God. And also followers of the true God were not to be like the followers of false gods. They were to be like Jesus. John, in 1 John, is writing to Christians who had discovered that Jesus is the creator of life. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the one who made himself known as the Word of life. It's always a shocking thing when Christians sin. You know, becoming a Christian doesn't eliminate our old natures and its attempts to drag us back into sin and destroy our fellowship with God, destroy our joy that we have with this new life we have. And the Spirit of God in us helps us to reject, to walk away from that old way of life. So each of us must learn to deal with sin, must learn to walk with Jesus. You know, and when I was passing out stuff to people in the Czech Republic to tell them how to do this, it was like learning to breathe, learning to breathe as a Christian. I learned to breathe as a swimmer. You know, it's really important. If you can't breathe as a swimmer, that's hard. But now knowing how to swim, knowing how to walk with Jesus is really important, how to deal with sin in our lives. If we want to enjoy life with God that is real and satisfying, we should test ourselves to see if we what this fellowship with God is like that we have. And what we have here is this passage divided in three parts, and then each part starts out with if we say. And each of these if we say parts is a test or self-evaluation, helping us to figure out how we're dealing with sin and what to watch out for. So today, let's look at three methods of dealing with sin, things to watch out for, these tests that we should have in our minds and our heart as we walk with Jesus. First method, first test, telling lies to others. We catch ourselves telling lies to others. Look at verses 6 and 7. If we claim, or if we say, that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You know, people who are Christians sometimes fake Christian lifestyles. That's an amazing thing. I've had actually non-Christian professors at Ohio State University use that against Christianity. They don't understand that just everybody that comes to church, walks through the church door, isn't necessarily a Christian. But even with that, not all Christians always obey God. Christians sin. Sometimes these folks are still living in the darkness, like they did before they became Christians. They claim to have fellowship with God, maybe to make a favorable impression on their friends or to take shortcuts. You know, this is a shortcut I can take. I don't have to really change my life, but I can just say I'm a Christian. They want others to think that they are obeying God, but they're not. But if they live in the light as God is light, they have fellowship with God. And this fellowship with God means like a commonness that satisfies. The light itself being the reality that they share with God. And the blood of Jesus continually purifies them from all sin. You know, the Greek text has present tense, perfect tense, past tense. This is purifying. The word purifying means is in the present tense. So it stresses an ongoing, habitual action that we need to do. We need to do verse 6, verse 7 on an ongoing case. The blood of Jesus purifies us, continuing tense, from all sin when we confess it, when we spend time in God's word. And not just some of our sins does he cleanse us from, but all of them. All means all in the Bible, and that's all that all means. If they walk in the light, open and responsive to the word of God, fleeing from sin and helping and finding their help in God and his word, God will use the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from all sins. I think many of you know a famous preacher named John MacArthur. And John MacArthur recently went to be with the Lord. And he stressed the need for pastors to be actually doing what they say. Once he said, "The Lord brought Patricia, his wife, into my life for many reasons. But one of them is because she is not impressed with me. She expects me to live everything that I preach. That woman is unreasonable." You know, Patricia helped John MacArthur not to lie to others, but to walk in the light. You know, we should be like a sunflower. You know, these sunflowers are native to our area, to the United States. They're not an invasive species. And sunflowers are heliotropic. Heliotropic. Helio means sun. Tropic means moves. So in the morning, this sunflower will face the east. And as the sun goes across the sky, that sunflower head will turn right over to the west. And at night, to go back. And you keep doing that every day, every day. Because this sunflower is enamored with the light. This sunflower wants to be with the light. No matter what happens, all day long, they're searching for the light. And that's the way we should be. When God saves us, he gives us a desire for the word of God. And we're not perfect in everything that we do. Yeah, we stop. We make mistakes. But the desire to obey God is part of the process that God uses as we study the word of God. And he uses that to purify our hearts, purify our minds from all sin, the blood of Jesus. So first method, telling lies to others, is something, the first test that we should avoid, should watch out. If we catch yourself lying to others, guess what? Something's got to change. Something's got to change in my heart, my life, my actions. Second method, telling lies to ourselves. Look at verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Once a person lies to others, they sooner or later will lie to themselves. They deceive themselves. They think that they're right, but they're wrong. They're thinking that they're free from sin. I'm beyond this. This is not sin, what I'm doing. Convincing themselves they're walking in the light while the whole time walking in darkness, not taking their own sinfulness seriously. The cure for this type of behavior is uncomplicated. Instead of lying to ourselves and making excuses, we should confess our sins. And the word there, confess, is continuing tense, not a one-time deal. Not a salvation confession. It is a what thing that we do with that throughout our lives. We do this every day almost. When I sin, I confess it to God and experience his forgiveness. Don't confess to a priest. We confess to God, directly to God through Jesus. And to confess means to say the same thing that God says, to agree with God that this is sin. And then God demonstrates his faithfulness and his righteousness by forgiving our sins, by giving us a cleansed and a renewed heart. And the word there for forgives us is very decisive. It's a very decisive term there. It is absolutely taken care of. It is done. It's finished. God does it, takes care of it. He doesn't remember our sins. He washes our minds. He washes our hearts and restores our fellowship with the word of life. A classic example of this was David's sin with Bathsheba. Remember that story in the Old Testament? David took something that didn't belong to him just because he could. He took this woman. She didn't belong to him. She belonged to another guy, one of his faithful men. And then he killed that guy. And somehow convinced himself that what he did was all right. Hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Just continued living his life like, hey, nothing happened here. It's okay. Just acted like he did before. But then David's chaplain came and spoke with him, confronted him, Nathan, telling him a story about a rich man who took a poor man's lamb from him, the only lamb that he had, but he did it because he was rich and he could do it. At that point, David, after being confronted again by Nathan, when Nathan said, "That man is you," David confessed his sin. And there were heavy consequences associated with his sins. As believers, there is forgiveness for our sins, but many times there are consequences we face in this life for the sins, even though they are forgiven. And then God restored fellowship, his fellowship with David, and forgave his sin. So we've seen the first method, telling lies to others. Second method, telling lies to ourselves. And the third test, the third evaluation we should go through, is making sure we're not telling lies to God. Verse 10, it says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." You know, God has taught us in his word that we all have a sin nature from birth. That means since Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, every human being from that point on has been born a sinner in need of salvation. And in Genesis 3:15, it talks about a salvation that's been promised in the future. So somebody who's going to come to pay for our sins. But we've each been given a sin nature. But not only that, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So by nature, we're sinners. By nature, we need a Savior. But not only that, we have each chosen on our own to go against God. We've missed the mark. We've broken the law. So it doesn't make much sense for us to try to tell the creator of the universe, who knows everything, even what we're going to say, that we have not sinned. We should not deny our sin to a God who has told us already otherwise, that each one of us has sinned. If we do that, that makes God out to be a liar. We're contradicting what God says in his word, saying that, "God, you are wrong, but guess what, God? I'm right." We reject what God says and fail to give it proper place and authority in our lives that it should have. We're not being honest with God. As we read the Bible, we see that it doesn't turn out well for folks who lie to God or try to tell him how to do things. In the first pages of the Bible, we have Adam, who didn't get away with this. God said to Adam, "Have you eaten from that tree?" What did Adam say? "Well, God, it's that woman you gave me. You know, she saw that apple or whatever it was, the fruit from the tree, and she took it and ate it. And then she gave it to me, and I ate it." So he was like throwing the blame on her for his mistake. So we do that lots of times, don't we? Whatever it is, how we grew up, our parents, whatever situation, we try to put it on somebody else rather than on us. Try to say to God, "It's not my fault." Nor Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. You know, they didn't have to say they gave all the money to the church, but they both lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lost their fellowship with God, and they lost their lives in that situation as well. We should be honest with God when we confess our sins. We shouldn't make excuses when we talk to God. And we should confess our sins as soon as we discover them. Sometimes we're not aware that we've sinned, and it's pointed out to us. And it's okay. It's okay to say to God, "I'm sorry. I won't do that again." We want to do that so we might be as useful for God's kingdom as long as possible. None of us in here knows whether we're going to be here today or tomorrow or next week. Sometimes it ends a lot faster. Most of the times it ends a lot faster than we think. So walking in the light is the main topic of this passage. Questions at the end are we walking in the light, or are we walking in darkness? Does the Word of God have a solid place in our lives and the authority in our lives to tell us that we're living in sin? And are we changing? Are we walking? Are we like this sunflower, we wanting the Word of God in our lives? We are enamored with the Word of God, and we want to change our lives so we walk within. Our granddaughter Heidi is learning to walk in the light. Are we? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this passage that just kind of takes us to task and asks us and confronts us with things that we should be watching out for, and also gives us how we should deal with it, what we should do. Well, Lord, we just pray that the Word of God will do its work in our lives and help us to walk in honesty and sincerity with Jesus every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.